السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الذي يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين، وقال: وهو معكم أينما كنتم، وقال: يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد للعالمين. My previous intention was that today I would end up the chapter of Dajjal and speak on the last and perhaps the greatest threat which Dajjal has made to the Ummah, and that is interest, riba. But for some reasons I could not get down to making mutala of it. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wished that maybe at a later stage I should speak about it. So I decided to speak about something which has some ta'alluq with the fitna of Dajjal, although not directly, and that is how a person can be saved from Dajjal. What we have mentioned over and over again, it is called deen. That only when deen comes in a person's life will a person manage to stay on a straight road. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created Dajjal, has created Shaitan. This is fitna, imtihanat, tests. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created it. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. To know who's true and who's a liar. Every person to claim, I want Jannah and I'm worthy of being put in Jannah, I worship one creator, is very easy. But it's when a test comes, then you really see who is worthy to qualify, who does not qualify. So Dajjal, Shaitan, woman, wealth, everything that has been made beautiful around the world, Allah tabaraka ta'ala has created it just as an imtihan. And only that person will come out kamiyab from this imtihan, successful, who got deen in his life. Now what is this deen? Near the end of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, what we know normally as the hadith of Jibra'il, where Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam came and informed the ummah of deen now. In this year, it was explained to them, the final, the khulasa, that what you need to be straight. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates that he says, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ While the Sahaba radiallahu anhu was surrounding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ And suddenly a man just appeared. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made it happen such that most likely every single Sahabi who sat in that majlis would remember what happened. Everything before the waqiyah, before the hadith was amazing, and the things after the hadith were amazing. So when everyone's mind was there, listening well what was being said. This was a very, very important hadith which was going to be taught to the ummah. Where other hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perhaps would make a joke and one Sahabi would narrate it, would remember it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak to his wife and the wife would narrate. This was such an event which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made before the hadith, certain waqiyat which everyone's attention was drawn. And immediately after it happened, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said certain things which everyone again came to their senses. So they made sure they remembered this event. It was well talked about, it was propagated to the ummah correctly. So he says, طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا From nowhere suddenly this man just appeared. And the man had two conditions which were both amazing. He says, شَدِيدُ سَوَادِشْ شَدِيدُ بَيَادِ الثِّيَابِ That his clothing was extremely white. Whereas a man in a desert, hardly you will ever find a white cloth. Because every now and then when the wind blows, definitely dust will settle. For a man to suddenly appear with a white kurta in a desert is something amazing. And the only way he can appear in a desert with a white kurta is that perhaps he came the day before and he went to someone's house, he had a ghusl, his clothing were washed. And now he just put on the clothing and he came out. But the next word, the second sentence, he says, Shadidu sawad ash-sha'r. On the one side his clothing was extremely white, on the other side his hair was extremely black, meaning there was no dust in the hair also. So the only way this could have happened if he went for a ghusl right there. He had put on new clothing and he had come. But he says then, La yura alayhi atharu safar, that the signs of this man having been made a journey was not on him. The way his clothes were, how neat it was, and the way his hair was, how clean it was, there was no way this man could have come from far. وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٍ. And on the other side, none of us knew this man. So had he come the day before, we would have said he came and he stayed by so-and-so place. The Sahaba of Medina Munawwara knew everything that was happening. Anyone would come, any guest, he would come to the masjid first. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, go into so-and-so place, go to so-and-so place. Everything was known what was happening. But no one knew him, so where did the stranger come? There is one thing that this man did that everyone is wondering, who is this person? لا يعرفه منا أحد. And he says, حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whereas normally Sahaba رضي الله عنه would from far ask ijazat. They would be scared, especially a stranger. They would ask someone, where is the messenger of Allah? They would say, give me permission, take me close to him, introduce me. But this man just walked up like nothing. جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه. And he went and he sat in such a position which we would normally not sit. He went right up to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He put his knees on the knees of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was something a Sahabi would never do. So they're wondering, who is this man? أسند ركبتي إلى ركبتي ووضع كفيه على فخذيه. Not only that, but then he took his hands and he put it on the knees of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine that hay'at of that man. As though Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this person, as though they were very close. But then he said, Ya Muhammad, which was something that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would never ever do. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would never call him by his name. They would always say, Ya Rasulullah. And they knew that those people who are from the village, those people are from their dehat, those people who have no etiquette, perhaps they will say, Ya Muhammad. But the way this man went up, the way he sat, the way he put his hands, the way he was dressed, showed that this man was not a normal villager. And for him to be saying, Ya Muhammad. So everyone's attention was there. This was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which we all know. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu never knew at that time. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made it. And it's made for us also that when we hear the beginning of the hadith, hopefully we remember the middle of the hadith now. Like how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu remembered it for the rest of their life because they understood something great this is. This is our deen, this year. He said, Akhbirni anil Islam. That what is Islam, your whole life you have taught? And now the end has come. What is the khulasa of Islam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained Islam, what we call, he said, perform your salah. First the person will give shahadat of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Thereafter he will perform his salah. He will give his zakah. He will keep the fast of Ramadan. If hajj becomes farz, he will perform his hajj. What we call the actions of Islam. The five pillars of Islam. That is Islam. The outside of a person. What he will have to show to the world. And then this man said, Sadaqta, that you have spoken the truth. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, their condition was whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them a question, many a time, even if they thought they knew the answer, they would say, Wallahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and the Messenger of Allah know best. Never would they say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he said something that, yes, you have spoken the truth. Because who will they be to make this dhikr? So they say, Fa'ajibna. Sahaba got shocked. What is this man doing now? يَسْأَلُهُ. First he's asking a question, وَيُصَدِّقُهُ. And then he's ticking it right also. He's marking the paper as though he's giving the imtihan. Then he said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. What is iman? So Islam is a part of our deen. And with Islam comes iman, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you believe in Allah, you believe in the malaika, you believe in the books of Allah, in the rasul of Allah, you believe in the day of qiyamah, and you believe in taqdeer. That whatever happens, happens with the will of Allah. And alhamdulillah, my desire is that all of us sitting here, we have these two things. We have iman and we have Islam. Although on a minimum level our salat might be, and our zakat might be, our hajj might be, our roza might be, but we have it. And on a minimum level our iman might be, but it is there. So two things we have. He said, sadaqta. Thereafter he said, what is now ihsan? The final ingredient which a person needs to get deen in his life, ihsan. And if a person gets this one quality in his life, thereafter he will be saved from every trial and tribulation, from every imtihan that he will find in front of him. Because he got deen now. Deen will be the only thing that will protect man from falling into fitna. What is ihsan? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it in such kalimat, which are called jawami'ul kalimat. That the wording was so little, but the meaning of it was so vast. Where he said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. That you have abdiyat of your creator in this manner. Abdiyat means that you show, you display yourself in front of your Allah in this manner. Your humility in front of your Allah is in this manner. Your walking in front of Allah is in this manner. Your eating is in this manner. Your dealing with others is in this manner. Abdiyat doesn't only mean when you're on the musalla, you are in this condition. Abdiyat means that your expressing your slavitude towards your creator must be in this manner. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. As though a person who is seeing his master in front of him, how he behaves. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ. Because even though no one can really see Allah, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is looking at you. This is ihsan. Now how do you explain this ihsan and how do we bring it in? Imam Nawawi rahimullah in Riyadu Salihin, when he brought this hadith, he never brought it under the chapter of Babul Ihsan. He brought it under the chapter of Babul Muraqabah. That a person has to get this perception in front of him. It has to become something in front, so much he has to hear about it, as though it's always there. The ayat which he mentioned before this hadith is, الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. That Allah who sees you when you're in your salah. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. And when you are going for your sajda, that Allah is open. Meaning when you are making your ibadat and you are doing good, at that time you must understand that my Allah is looking at me. There will be a world of difference between one man. A small child, when he goes to the maktab, the first thing he learns is La ilaha illallah. And that wali who's on his deathbed, and someone comes to him and says, you have reached the highest maqamah towards Allah. And now you are going. And what do you find most beneficial in your life? What has taken you so far? And when he thinks about it and he closes his eyes for a while, and now the time of his death is coming, his final words will be, he'll put up his finger, he'll say, La ilaha illallah. Man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah dakhal al-jannah. But the difference between that man's La ilaha illallah at the end of his life and the life, the La ilaha illallah of a child is what? That when the child says La ilaha illallah, he says it as a word, perhaps knowing the meaning, perhaps not knowing the meaning. And when a man who understands that my Allah is looking at me, and that level of understanding, the more it gets, the more the La ilaha illallah becomes. That is muraqabah, that is ihsan. A person sends durood on Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Friday, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people in the car, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, some people in front of the TV also, they take bed to certain mashayikh who tell them 10,000 times you must finish wazifa. But they have to finish it also, but they got their work to do also. So subhanallah, subhanallah, that tasbih is rolling, they're watching the TV also. As long as 10 gets finished, 10,000. Murana Ashraf al-Itani rahimullah explained that as long as this condition is not here, that man doesn't know what he's doing, then certain times will come in man's life when he'll be making Allah's name also and he'll be doing haram at the same time. Because it's just now an amal. There is no reality. He says a certain person in India, he was a very high man in the government. And for people to get their work done, they would always go to him. Bribery and corruption is the name of the day. So every person in the morning, they'd know they'll find him on the musalla and he would remain on his musalla till ishraq time, not moving. And he had a lot of wazayif to complete. He was bare to a certain sheikh. And normally the principle in wazayif is once you start reading, you mustn't break. You don't stop, you don't speak, you must just carry on to the ending. So when someone would come with their need, now he can't speak to the person what you want. So everyone understood what they'll have to do is they must write on a paper what their need is. So when they would come with their need, they'll present the paper in front. He will look at it while saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And then with a sign of his finger, he'll go like this here, meaning under the musalla you can leave the money also. Meaning, leave the bribe here, leave your paper here, come back for your work tomorrow. So why taking Allah's name he was involved in the action of bribery? This is when man doesn't understand what is subhanAllah. So one la ilaha illallah is that which is done without any ihsan. One la ilaha illallah is that which is done when Allah is looking. الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. Now why Imam Nawawi rahimullah brought this under Babu al-Muraqabah? To explain a very important thing. At the ending now, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam finally asked about Qiyamah. Then he asked about the signs of Qiyamah. Thereafter he left. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately realized that this was Jibreel alayhi salam. So he told Umar radiallahu anhu, he told other sahaba, go and bring him back. But as soon as they went, he was gone. This was the second thing on the other side which made them remember this hadith. That the way he came, the way he disappeared. And finally then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, oh Umar, do you know who is that radiallahu anhu? He said, Dhaka Jibreel. Ataakum yuallimukum deenakum. That was Jibreel alayhi salam who came to teach you your deen. That if you have three things in your life, Iman, Islam, and Ihsan, then you will never go wrong. You got deen. But immediately the objection comes on this hadith that there are many other things in Islam. What about tawakkul on Allah? What about sabr? What about shukr? What about the love of Allah, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What about spending in Allah's path? What about removing the love of dunya? What about controlling yourself in front of haram? What about removing hirs and greed from your body, from your zat, from your nafs? Removing the desire for this world? Removing stinginess and removing hatred? What about all those things? That was not mentioned at all. But he mentioned if you have three things, deenakum, this is your whole deen. Where were all the other things? So it is natural that when a man makes muraqabah on Allah, when a man starts conducting himself in this condition, that he understands that his Allah is always with him. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. When man starts getting this here, if this comes 2% also in a person, and that person is walking, and he sees somebody else walking in front of him, and that man's trouser is over his ankles, that man has no beard, but this man understands that Allah is looking at me and Allah is looking at him, that person will not get riyah. He will not get takabbur. He will not feel I am greater than that person. Why? He will understand I am in front of a king. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damar Barakatuh many times explained that many people ask this question that I got a beard and I got my pants over the ankles and I see another person in front of me without it. His pants is over his ankles. He has no beard. And I have been taught to think that I am the worst of mankind. But now how can I think that when I see this man involved in Ain Guna? So he explained very nicely that you got a prince or you got the king and he's walking in the jungle and he got all his power and his shan. With one phone call this can get done, with one phone call that can get done. And next to him is one of his wazirs, a man who was just brought into the kingdom recently. A man, if the king doesn't pay him, he won't be able to see to his family. A man who is a slave to every command of the king. Now that moment, as long as the king realizes that there is no one around us, he can feel I am great. But الَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. When man understands who's in front, so he says, suddenly a lion comes out from the jungle. Now when that lion comes out, the king forgets he's a king. And he forgets that the man next to me is my slave. At that moment, the king won't even turn to that man and say, fight the lion. Neither will the king say to the lion, do you know who I am? Neither will the king say, I'm a rich man and affairs of the world depend on me. And this is a no one, you rather eat him, don't eat me. People will cry over me, they won't cry over him. At that time where the poor man will turn and run, the king will also turn and run. And while the poor man is screaming for his life, the king will also be screaming for his life. Why? Because he has come in front of a lion. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. When ihsan is there, man has that thought that Allah is in front. You will never be able to have takabbur. Because you understand that you are not facing a judge, you are facing Allah. And Allah's decision is not based on what man does. Allah's decision is based on his decision. At that moment, if the lion says to the poor man, you go your way, I'm going for the king. Will the king be able to turn around and say to the lion, this is not justice. The lion is the lion. Allah is Allah. So this is ihsan. When ihsan comes and man is walking on the road and he sees someone who got no money, and that person won't just turn an eye and walk away, but he will realize, my Allah is looking at me. When ihsan is there and someone does wrong to you, and you don't want to forgive that person, but it comes in your mind that my Allah is looking at me, who won't forgive after that? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, a lot of wealth he gave to a certain cousin of his. And a certain time in Islam came when his most beloved daughter, the most beloved wife of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, was accused of zina. And normally great people, they get accused of the worst things. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was one of those times wahi was not coming quickly. So he did not know what to say. All he could say is, the most I know about my wife that they are good people. But then he also goes to his wife and he asks Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, meaning the thoughts were coming so much now, that he finally told her, "Oh Aisha radiyallahu an, if it is really true what happened, that you really made zina, then just say you made it." Meaning he really now was going on that side. So much people were talking. He said, "Really, just say that you made zina and I will establish the had on you. Make tawbah and Allah will forgive you. And if you haven't made it, then say you haven't made it." So Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha said, that if I say I never do it, you people will say I'm lying. If I say I never do it. And if I say I did it, I'll be a liar. So why must I talk? And she was also frustrated. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also in parashani, worry. What was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's condition? On the one side, it was the most beloved friend of his, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was hurt. On the other side, it was his daughter. And finally, when wahi was revealed, and thereafter those people were brought who were mentioning what was happening, then one person was brought in front who was the cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A man who was poor and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw to all his needs. A person who you will say, "I made ihsan on you your whole life and now you pay me back like this." So at that time Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took qasam that from now on I will never ever help you again. And immediately Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reveals the verses that أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, that will you not desire that one day when you're in problem, your Allah must forgive you? Now what was the condition of ihsan? As soon as they heard it, Abu Bakr radiallahu went out, he said, "Oh Allah, I want, oh Allah, I want." That is ihsan. So man understands that Allah is looking. That is the time when everything will come right. There is one way of making your garden, that you take out all the weeds of the garden. And as you're busy with one weed, suddenly you turn around, another weed has come. Where you make an effort to bring tawakkul in your life, you make an effort to bring rada in your life, happy with every decision of Allah. You make an effort to bring sabr in your life, you make an effort to bring the desire to spend in your life, the desire to do amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, the desire to worry for the affairs of mankind, the desire to be kind to your parents, the desire to be kind to your children. There are so many things to do, and one man is making an effort on one thing, and you just turn around and you see another weed has come out. You try to pull out that weed, you are involved in a haram affair at the moment, you want to come out. You just managed to come out, you gone into something else. So Mawlana Rum rahimullah explains that that's one way of gardening, where while you're planting something, 10 weeds come behind you also. And another weed of way of gardening is that you look at all the weeds and you tell a person, just light a fire. And with that fire, everything is burnt. And when everything is burnt now there's no question of a weed coming out now. He says that is the love of Allah. That when man gets that love of Allah, then that whole thing just gets burnt. Now everything just starts coming out. When man gets this ihsan, that my Allah is looking at me, the whole deen comes in a person's life. If man is intending to do haram, then that ihsan will remind him, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ, that it, Allah is looking at the treachery of the eyes. وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ, and what's hidden in the heart. Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh translates, Anko ki choriya aur dilo ke raaz, sab janta hai tu e beniyaz. Anko ki choriya aur dilo ke raaz, the cheating of the eye, the secrets of the heart, sab janta hai tu e beniyaz. Oh Allah, you know everything. When man has that Allah in front of him and that haram comes, will it be hard to leave it? Alladhi yaraka heena taqoom, that when you stay away from haram, it's your Allah looking and he's happy with you. And when you fall in that haram, it's your Allah looking and is angry. Well, man thereafter say, I just can't control myself. So when we have Islam and Iman, one effort has to be made, and that is the quality of Ihsan. And for this quality of Ihsan, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created different ways and means. In our own era, we are so fortunate. Many people complain that there are so much fitna around us. So I normally say, with all the fitna around us, there's so much good around us. There was a time in the past where people never heard of the work of Tabligh and Jamaat. At that time, the fitnas were not so much also. And now when the fitnas have come so much, sit in one bayan and hear the tashkil happening, And you'll see a man standing up and saying 40 days, 4 months, 1 year, life. There was a time when man could not say, I'll give 1 day to the masjid also. So Allah Pa created a way. Joined the right avenues. There was a time in South Africa where people never heard of a khanka. They never heard of a sheikh. They never heard of a murabbi. They never heard of programs after the salah. They never heard of zikrullah. Now everything is there. You join what you have to join and everything will come right. مجھے سہل ہو گئی ہے منزل کہ ہوا کا رخ بھی بدل گیا. The poet says that now the road has suddenly become easy. Where before everything was so hard. This fitna and that fitna, this test and that test. But now everything has become easy. And the wind has also changed its direction. Where first it was against me, now it's pushing me in the right way. تیرا ہاتھ ہاتھ میں آ گیا کہ چراغ راہ بھی جل گیا. He says to his sheikh that once my hand came in your hand, now I just see everything opening up. Now the lights are on. Now I can see the road. Now the wind is pushing me in the right direction. So Allah Pak has made avenues, the avenue of tabligh and da'wat, the avenue of the khanka and tasawwuf, the avenue of coming to the madaris and studying the hadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Different avenues. That's only what we see. In other countries, the avenues of jihad, the avenues of going out and sacrificing your wealth for Allah's pleasure, there are many, many, many. And the maqsad is that ihsan can come. When a person goes in tabligh, he is told, read the fazail. Why is that fazail? Read it. So it becomes that ihsan comes there. That when man says that durood, one is the man just said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one is the man who says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his heart can hear that the angel is taking that durood to the rosa of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his heart can hear that salam being given to his durood. That the angel saying, oh Allah's messenger, so and so, the son of so and so gave durood, made dua for you. And Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that convey my salams to that person also. Now what will be the durood of this one and that one? World. This is ihsan. The man reads this ahadith so much yaqeen comes on it, that whenever the desire for wrong comes, then Allah is in front. And whenever he is too lazy to do good, then Allah is in front. Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. When Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala brings these three things in our life, then the higher it gets, the better the road will come. Ataakum yu'allimukum deenakum. When man will get deen, then he'll be protected from every fitna. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to bring this into our life. Wa akhiru da'wana.